About 2 months ago, the Lord directed me, He wanted me to preach, and I said I'd be glad to, and then, what do I preach on? And I thought, well, I'll preach on what I learned in my 73 years. Don't tell anybody. But anyway, I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity, and I'm going to make statements, and then I'm going to follow that up with Bible verses. And I hope that this message is for everyone, but especially for our young people. I want to focus on our young people. And hopefully they won't make the same mistakes that I made, and they won't have the same regrets that I have, which I repented of. And I am so proud of our children. They are such wonderful children. And those that are raised up in Christ, it's a beautiful thing, because so many children are lost, and we need to pray for them. But today I want to begin with where I started out. And life begins with love, and God's forever love, and loving everyone. 1 John 4:19, we love God because He first loved us, and this is the reason we love. 1 John 3:23, add, this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He had commanded us. And again, Proverbs 8:17, love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. And Psalms 118, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So we have come to know that God is love, and whoever abides in love, God abides in him. And that's where I believe I started. God knew me before I was born, and He loved me. And when I was born, He loved me. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at age 8, He loved me. And then when I lived my life, He loved me. And then when I die, He's going to love me. He's going to take me to heaven. And He's going to love me forever. Praise God. Praise God for that. When we die in Christ, we die. We go from life to life, and we know we're going to live forever to praise and the love our glorious God. And then it's important to tell your parents and people you know and people you love and people you want to know. Tell them you love them. Tell your extended family you love them. Tell everyone you know you love them. And love everyone. There's different kinds of love too. I mean, we can love God's creation. We can love God's word, God's church, His church family, God's mercy and grace, His justification and sanctification. We can love our pets. We can love our farm animals. We can love sharing our faith, and we can love sharing our Lord God. But we cannot just tell people that we love them, because the Bible says we have to do more than that. We have to show our love. We have to give them our love. We have to demonstrate our love for them. And I have examples of love that I experienced in my life. In the farm community, if the barn burns, the whole neighborhood is there. They're there to help. They're there to support them. They're there with food. They're there to give them their love. And that's every time. But I give you a caution. Fire trucks don't stop at the sign, at the stop sign. I found that out. Luckily, I stopped before them. But yes, I say that I love my farm. I love my quarter horse that my dad bought, and it had been out in pasture for a long time. And every time I got on it, it dumped me off. You know, it went into a full gallop and it dumped me off. And I said, "Boy, I'm going to fix this," you know. So I went and got me a new saddle, and I put that on there, and I cinched it up tight, and away we went, full gallop, and I still fell off. Because the milkman we bought it from, he said, "You got to use a little twitch and just bring that down between the eyes." And I couldn't find a little twitch. I found a big twitch. So we was at full gallop, and I come down with the big twitch, and he stopped just like that. And I didn't know that the horses could stop that quick. And I got ahead of the horse. And when I was looking up, the horse was smiling. Did you know horses smile? Yeah, well, that was irritating. But anyway, we worked on that, and he got to be a real good horse. And also, I got an example of love here. When I was in the hospital recovering from my surgeries, who do you think come to see me? Pastor Chuck and Rick and Lowell, they come to see me and pray over me and pray with me and pray for me. And that means so much when you're in the hospital and you just need that love and support in prayer. And I think that's a prime example of brotherly love. Also, when I needed some transportation to get to my doctor, I called Lowell, and the first thing he said, "Well, I'd be glad to, David." Well, that's a Christian brother for you. Thank you, Lowell. I appreciate that so much. But I can say confidently that what you give love to be, you will be loved. God will love you, and he will be with you always. The life begins with love, and God's forever love and loving one another. Love those who love me, and those who seek diligently find me. And then moving on. I gotta find it. I want to talk about education and learning. Well, I misplaced it. Found it. Here. Learning is extremely important. You must listen, study, dedicate yourself to learning, and so that you can accomplish much. The foundation of education is the Holy Bible. The foundation that we all need, we all want to build on that foundation that Christ laid for us. This Bible is the living word of Christ. It is the book of life. It is the book of answers. It is the book of knowledge and the book of light, the book of truth, and the book of answers. It's a book of eternal treasures and salvation. No one can be educated unless they have read the Bible and unless they study it and pray over it and read it regularly. To gain the knowledge that can be applied to you and your wisdom, life, what joy it is to feast on God's word. Young people, you are so blessed to have parents who homeschool you and teach you the word of God. It'll be useful and serve you well your entire life. All scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, so reproof and for correction, for training for righteousness, that man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. The one who is taught the word, share all good things with the one who teaches. My son, your father's instruction and follow your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of wisdom, knowledge. But I say to you that learning should be fun, and it should be a goal. What do you want to learn? What do you need to learn? And learning, I believe, should be fun. I get excited when I learn. I try to learn something every day. I have a goal, and that goal is to love Christ more every day and follow him and talk with him and worship him and pray to him and get to know him, because there's a lot to know there. We have such a wonderful Christ. And then I want to talk quickly about our sinful nature, which we all have, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, and like the rest of mankind. All of us have a sinful nature. And that sinful nature leads you into darkness, sin and temptation. Run back to the light of Christ as fast as you can. I know I've been there, and I repented of that. Run back to your family, run back to your church, run to your church family and back to God's word. Walk in the light of righteousness and truth, and you will never regret it, but you will always feel God's love walking with you. And then I want to talk about people who reject God. Whoever believes in him does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son, God. Rejecting God. In 2 Corinthians 4:9, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and of the glory of Christ and who is the image of God. And I want to say to young people, do not let anyone tell you that there is no God. Regardless of their authority or their position, they say that because they do not seek him. And because they do not seek him, they do not know him. And because they do not know him, they reason there is no God. And this is a lie from the devil. The definition of a liberal is someone, almost all liberals are godless. And we need to pray for them too. And many people have a closed mind and a hard heart and a dying, withering spirit within them, because they do not know Christ and they have not sought Christ and they do not pray to Christ and worship Christ. We need to pray for them too, that they will find Christ and be saved. And then I want to speak about discipline. We all need discipline. You know what I do when God disciplines me? I get down in prayer and I thank him, because I know he loves me and he wants me to do well in my service to him. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, and be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Discipline your children. Obey parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, and this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in this land. Discipline is necessary for everyone, because you're going to have to discipline yourself in your studies, You're going to have to discipline yourself in your relationships. You're going to need to discipline yourself if you want to learn a musical instrument. And I know there was times when I misbehaved. You know, can you believe that? But guess what? My dad, he would come and he'd say, we're going to find you another job here on the farm. And that got to be permanent, you know. So I got to think that this is not really a good thing, you know. And at the rate I was going, I'll be farming by myself, you know. And I didn't want that, no. But it was a good way to learn. And I think it's made me the person that I am. And I am going to obey God and serve him. And then we want to talk about gifts and purpose of gifts. You know, every good gift, and this is James 1:17, every one good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now here's the thing. God gives us the best of everything. Shouldn't we give him the best of ourselves? Let's give him our best. Romans 7:1, I wish that all were as myself, but each one of us has their own gift from God. One of one kind, and another kind, and still another one of another kind. So I have gifts, and you know, you're going to say, what are those gifts? And the first gift he gives is spiritual gifts, and he gives it to everyone. But you know, like Chuck and Ted and George Noel, they used that gift for the Lord. And because of that gift, we were all blessed. And I praise God for that. God, you know, gives gifts for a purpose. God has a purpose. We know that all those who love God, all things work together for good. Our God, all things work together for good. And all those who are called for his purpose. Oh, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for his gifts. And his purpose for his gifts is to use them to serve the Lord. Christ gives spiritual gifts to everyone. But he also gives physical, personal gifts. And so, some of you are going to have a gift in mathematics, or science, or agriculture, medicine, building, engineering, teaching, and so on. But ask the Lord to help you to grow in that gift. I have two gifts. I wish I had more. I have gift encouraging. And you know what? I love to encourage God's servants. I mean, I'll trip over myself to get there because I like doing it. I like encouraging pastors, Pastor Chuck. Our elders, our deacons, our teachers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and our family members here today. I want to encourage them. My other gift is poetry. And I like writing poems, not poets. And I got that wrong. I wrote a couple poems for Pastor Chuck and Shirley because I wanted to be special. They are special for me. And I gave it to them. And I've done that for other people when the Lord urged me to write a poem for that person because they were worthy. And I said, Lord, I'd be glad to do that. I'd be very glad to do that. And then I want to talk quickly about divine protection. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. John 1, 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone who's been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was a born of God protects him, and the evil one who does not touch him. Now, I think that's pretty special when we have protection from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. because we all know this is a dangerous world, and there's a lot of unbelievers. But Christ protects his children and keeps them safe from danger and from harm. How many times has the Lord saved me? And I know that God was there for me, and I'm just going to tell you a couple times. Once, we were baling hay, and I hooked a wagon on a hill, and it started rolling. And so I run it down the hill as far as I could. I turned it, and I tripped over some hay, and I threw the hitch the other direction, and that wagon stopped 2 feet from me, and it would have crushed me if it would have went over me. That was God saving me, and I'm thankful. And another time, a friend called me and said, how about we go to a wedding reception? And I said, well, okay. But I knew his friend. He had a reputation of falling asleep at the steering wheel. I didn't like that. But he said, well, it's okay. Come on. So we got there, and I didn't know it was an all-night. I thought we'd be back in an hour. But anyway, when we come to go home at 4 o'clock, maybe I'll be home to milk cows. He said, well, George, you get in, you driving. Oh, I said, oh. But anyway, I was in the back seat. And we were going down the highway, and the Lord directed me to wake up. And when I woke up, he was slept on the steering wheel, sound asleep. And the front seat passenger was sound asleep. I was the only one who wasn't sleeping. Yeah. And we were coming up on a curve at 70 miles an hour, and I'm thinking, this is really bad. I started screaming. You know, I don't usually scream, but I screamed. And I got him up, and he did. He cranked the wheel to the left, then he cranked it to the right, and we went into a skid. And even though the wheels were going forward, we were going backwards, and we went backwards down a 13-foot bank, and we were 1 foot away from the power pole. And that was God saving me, and at the same time, he saved them. So I know I'm eternally grateful. And there's many times that I don't know of that God saved me, and I am eternally grateful for that. And at last, and at least, I want to talk about prayer. Prayer is very expensive, very important. I want to testify about 6 prayers that Christ answered for me with his divine love. Number one, Jesus. I asked Jesus what he wanted me to do for an occupation. And Christ directed me to farming. But in every generation, that one son was expected to stay home with their father and keep that farm going. I felt obligated to stay home and support my family. But I enjoyed it because I felt I was working with God. God gave me the seed. He gave me the harvest. He gave me the tools. He gave me the land. He gave me the livestock. And I'm glad. And every day I was working, I worked with Christ. I talked to him. I prayed to him. I told him that I loved him with all my heart. But now I was 61 years. I've been farming with my dad and my brother. And, as a redneck would say, I'm tuckered. Or that's redneck for tired. But that's okay. I asked the Lord, this is number 2, I asked the Lord, what church do you want me to attend? And he said, I want you to go to DeForest Evangelical Free Church. Because I hunger for spiritual truth and knowledge and consistent growth and worship. And praise the Lord, he directed me here. It's a wonderful place to worship and to be. I thank God for that greatly. Number 3, I ask God to be with me when I watch over me during my 10 surgeries. That's 10 of them. Promptly, we called the prayer chain. And you know what? The church saints prayed for me. And you know what? There was no health problems. There was no complications, and I had a quick recovery because of all of you. Thank you. Number four, I asked Jesus for a little brother that I could love. Everybody around me had a little brother. I didn't have a little brother, and I wanted a little brother really bad. But I said, Lord, if you give me a little brother, I will love him. I will be the best brother I could. And you know, I was 16 years old when I got my little brother, and he's been my friend. He's been my partner, and he's my brother, and I love him. And I thank God for that. And number five, the Lord. I asked the Lord if he could find me a Christian wife. I wasn't having much luck at that, you know. But anyway, he directed me to Kathy. And the Lord directed me to marry her. Kathy was wonderful, smart, loving, gives me happiness, company, caring, and I thank God for every day. But the Lord was good to me again. After 4 years, I married her. Yeah, I shouldn't have waited that long. Yeah. The sixth prayer request was, Lord, how can I serve you in your church? And so I went on to be a deacon. And then I became an elder, and then I went back to being a deacon again. But I was glad and always thankful to be a part of this church and to help wherever I can and do whatever I can. It was a joy to serve. Life is not about me. Life is about Jesus Christ, whom the Lord adopted me as a child. And I knew the day that the Lord adopted me as his child of light, I became a member of God's family. Every day, he brings me great joy, knowing that I'm a member of God's family. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your protection, for your prayers and for your answer that you have answered. Thank you for my dear church family, the loving saints, for all their prayers, for my wife's loving care during my recovery from my surgeries. Thank you, Jesus, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hope and for the Holy Word, and for giving me life and salvation, great joy, that we may worship you all the days of our life. Children, I would like you to make a list of all the good things and all the blessings that God has given you. And then when you get done with that, get to the Lord in prayer and thank him, because he deserves it. We need to be very thankful for everything he's done. And I will close with Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is a true God, and he is a living God, and the everlasting God. And John 11:27. She, and I think they were talking about Martha here, she said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Lord. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God who is coming into this world. And now, today, he is here with us. So we can only thank and praise him and love him more. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you.